I was able for the first time in my career, because of AI, because of having an AI first team, to do everything. And many people can just say, what was the quality of that? The quality of that was just a benefit-led content with lots of insights, lots of stats, lots of proof points, because nothing was going out without being able to substantiate it, without telling a story. We got the foundation, we got the speed, but we expanded and the whole thing blossomed with the help of AI.
Welcome to B2B Content Strategist, where we bring you insights and practical tips straight from the minds of top B2B content marketing experts. I'm Amy Woods, founder and CEO of Content 10X, and in each episode, I chat with leading B2B marketers about how they consistently craft and execute successful campaigns, even when faced with tight deadlines and limited resources. If you're looking to elevate and optimize your content marketing efforts, you're in the right place. Keep listening. Hello and welcome to B2B Content Strategist. I'm your host, Amy Woods, and today I'm joined by Kostas Zakoudanis, Director of Marketing at Ultimate Group. Now, at Ultimate Group, Kostas leads an AI-first, insight-driven marketing operation for 6 global events across Asia, the UAE, Africa, Latin America, and Europe. In this episode, we dive into how Kostas is breaking down silos between marketing, content, and events. We talk about how he repurposes event content and how he's building benefit-led, insight-rich campaigns that position brands as authorities. We also dig into his approach to AI, why he treats AI like another member of the team, the safeguards that he uses to avoid copyright pitfalls, and what happened when a team member told him, AI makes me feel redundant. If you're curious about team leadership and really making AI work in the real world, this conversation is packed with insights you won't want to miss. Let's jump in. Kostas, welcome to B2B Content Strategist podcast. It's great to have you on.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
To kick things off, could you share a bit about your role in some sentences just about what Ultimate Group does as well?
I started with Ultimate Group actually a few weeks ago. Obviously, they are having events around the world, predominantly focusing on the trading sector. There are 6 events that my team is covering at the moment around the world, predominantly Asia, UAE, Africa, and LATAM, and one in Europe. It was a very, how should I put it, ambitious project, a great building exercise that really attracted me to the role. I have a team of 8 marketers, and I oversee also a conferencing, the content team. It's a fantastic opportunity to just connect marketing and content and not work in their own silos. So we're introducing brand new processes. And predominantly my role is to promote the shows from, delegate acquisition, sponsorship acquisition, and obviously oversee the brand, how the shows are coming across to our target audience. And all my focus is to expand on content, to create, benefit-led content, not necessarily surface-led. Sometimes, for example, especially in events, we come across and we always state the same. We are the best, we are this, we are that. I like, for example, stats. I like insights, benefit-led statements, and definitely proof points. That's my main concern and that's my main focus. That's my role at the moment. I started roughly 2 months ago. We're still getting to know each other, myself and my team. It's the most, interesting, in my opinion, at the beginning, to just get to know your team, what they do, learn from them, because they have the institutional knowledge. I don't yet. I'm still learning. And you just see how they operate. And then you just try to see what you can bring to the fold to expand and enhance further what they do.
And how is the team structured? So you mentioned the size, but how is that structured? What are the typical roles and all of that within the team?
The core marketing team consists of 6 marketing managers and our resident, as I call it, copywriter. It's extremely important to have a copywriter. I know that we delve a lot into AI, but to have someone to humanize that content and combine speed and quality and warmth, that's extremely important. When I found out actually that I will have a copywriter in my team, that was actually a huge selling point for me, mainly because I didn't have the luxury of having a copywriter in the past. My marketing managers predominantly are working on their dedicated resources to its event. As I told you, we have 6. We're going to introduce a few more this year. So yeah, I think that I will be on a world tour with my team. Every 1.5 months, we will be in a different market. The brand is very established. Their responsibility is predominantly execute on the strategy, analytics, obviously the whole marketing mix from emails, paid media, social media. We're in the process right now of introducing new ways of working, new systems, new ways of communication. As I mentioned before, I'm extremely excited about the fact that I work very closely and the conference team is part of my remit. I work with a team that has a lot of passion and they want to expand in what they do. And I think that at this stage in my career, I'm ready to support something like that, in my opinion. Again, in events, sometimes you just create content to fill in, let's say, areas of the show. The past few years with the content teams that I'm working and right now having to support them heavily, not just collaborate with them, I think that we were trying to create something more insights-led, actionable insights, frameworks. That actually landed in my head and I created the first framework of that type when I went to Cannes Lions roughly 3 years ago. I went with a colleague. I didn't find a part of the content on a few stages, let's say, insightful. It was just things that you just read or you just see online, on social media. But when we landed in specific sessions, they were presenting frameworks, workshops, hackathons, business clinics, then it was just a whole different, let's say, revelation. And that showed me how this can be done. So that was a massive inspiration. Around that time, I was also quite exhausted because of a trek of 6 months that I was delivering a very ambitious project. But 1 week at Cannes actually rejuvenated everything. So I came back and I was full of ideas that I wanted to play with. And I think that 3 years down the line, right now, because as I said, the content team will be part of my remit, we can just take these ideas and just shape them and adapt them to this day and age. We have a few gems that we're creating at the moment. I'm really excited about that.
And with the content team, obviously you guys are super busy. It sounds like you've got a lot to do and you've got some big plans for how you want to format and structure things. It's great that you said about how you have the dedicated copywriter who I'm assuming therefore supports the 6 marketing managers that support all the different events. Is there anything specifically that within the content marketing and the content team you tend to always aim to keep in-house as a skill set? And are there certain things that you get flexibly through freelancers, through agencies, and just through pulling in that external expertise and not retaining that within the in-house team?
In the past few years, I think since 2021, I was lucky enough to just experience something completely different structure and just keep everything predominantly in all my employers, in all my teams that I was part of, in-house. And that was very refreshing because you have the speed, you develop institutional knowledge, which is extremely important. Sometimes in events, you just need to be reactive. You need to be very, very quick and resourceful to just have individuals that they can actually find solutions quickly. Use your muscle memory, use your institutional knowledge. That's extremely important. We are outsourcing strategically, let's put it that way. For example, in the past, I was outsourcing audio advertising, this kind of services, PR, because obviously its event can just focus on different territories with different needs in a different context. Therefore, we just need local, let's say, support in that perspective. In terms of, and sometimes depending on the structure of the organization, sometimes video can be outsourced. But the past few years, I have everything in-house, and that makes me very happy. You feel safe when something like that happens. Even with your own SLAs, they can just be adapted accordingly to accommodate your needs. Therefore, no, I don't outsource a lot. I will outsource something that is brand new for us, that we don't have the expertise yet. As I said before, it's about, let's say, audio advertising. That's the only expertise that we don't have at the moment. And with Ultimate Group, we have also our own sister company, which is a fully fledged, let's say, marketing agency. Therefore, whenever we need something from a structural perspective, strategy, support with paid advertising, we have their full support, which is very refreshing, you feel safe, more or less, you feel supported.
Yeah. And when it comes to events, something that always excites me in terms of what we do is that they're just a content extravaganza. And whenever you put on an event, there's just a million content opportunities everywhere. What is your view on that in terms of, is repurposing content from events something that you do? And is that something that your team does? And how do you plan for that?
That was always a pain point, to be honest with you. I don't know if other people that you talk to highlighted that. For me, it's not that sometimes I feel that I'm a control freak, but I just need to have visibility on the content that we have for one and only reason. I just need to audit, let's say, what we do, because I like working with my team and proceed with tiered, what I call segmentation. I'm very particular. Since 2018, I created at my then employer the first messaging framework. Up until then, it was very loose. It was about personas and all those things. I don't believe in personas, by the way. That's a totally different story. But I liked, for example, to audit the content that I have so as to be able to put it in different categories and be able to use it in real time and quickly to repurpose it and use it for the right audience at the right time. To give you an example, two of my shows, they are supported by a media company at Ultimate Group. At the moment, we're going through an exercise where we don't want, for example, the events and the media company to work in silo. We try to connect the two. Therefore, if I talk, for example, for brokers, I would like to understand what the media company, actually the media leg of our organization does, and then take that part of the content and complement. In a way, I just want this to work synergistically. And I had the luxury in the past 2 years to do that because my past two employers, they had media segments in their structure. And that was extremely refreshing, a learning exercise. Therefore, to go back to what you asked me, I like auditing content. I like repurposing content. And predominantly, I use that on social media to tell a story to the right audience, hopefully at the right time. That's the main challenge. You can't necessarily have full visibility on your content. I'm trying to find ways to do that with the use of AI so as to organize things, let's say, effectively, with speed, with the right categories, and resolve the issue, manual work, or having to have everything at the forefront of your awareness. Therefore, if I want to talk about brokers and I need to identify content that I have around that segment, I just want to just be able to go to my folders, to my drive, drop it into AI or use it at some capacity. This is what I'm trying to do the past 12 months, more or less, how to use AI so as to remove our manual work and have visibility and cover all our bases.
It's great to hear you talking about AI and innovative ways that you want to use AI. Have you had any challenges or observed any challenges with getting people within the team to embrace AI and use the tools and make it more of a want as opposed to you need to?
I had a conversation recently with a few people because they know that I'm a big fan of AI. I started using it and it was a game changer for my operations. It came to the forefront at a time that I was a little bit under-resourced and it was extremely important for me to find solutions. Therefore, to learn how to use it, to explore, to experiment, that was actually godsend, let's be brutally honest. And also because of my accent, I don't call ChatGPT as it's called. We call it Sebastian. So for a long time, everybody thought that I have an assistant called Sebastian. Anyway, but regardless of that, there are challenges. First, you have overenthusiasm, but also you have skepticism. Sometimes also you have, which is part of human nature, people don't necessarily know what that means for their work. And we can elaborate on that later on if we have time. But for me, I was very content to say that actually the past 3 years, I created three, let's say, AI first teams. Actually, I have also put it in my resume that actually I created for this and these organizations an AI first team. It's extremely important. I think that you save a lot of time, not just from the operational aspect, that's standard. Everybody talks about it. It's about prompts. It's an avalanche of prompts, which some of them, most of them don't necessarily work. I treat AI like another, let's say, individual within my team. I explore, I test. To give you an example, I had members of my team that embraced it, but also they relied too much on it. Therefore, a lot of time, last year especially, I was receiving content to review. And one of the things that I was just saying that I was a little bit tired of saying was, have you interrogated the copy? This is obvious that we didn't interrogate it. We created, for example, prompt libraries or rules of how to assess the prompt, how to assess the structure of the content. But as I said, it's not only about content. I predominantly use AI as well, because every member of any team can just be in a different stage in their careers. For me, to just have a tool that it will offer a step-by-step way of doing things to someone who has never done something like that is knowledge expansion. And that's extremely important for me. I don't see that AI is going to take over or is going to just make main jobs, let's say, insignificant. For example, as I told you, we have a copywriter, and that's extremely important. I get, for example, the foundation of the content, and then the team actually humanizes that, which is extremely important. Something that stayed with me, and I will never forget it, was you learn as you're going along. It was when a member of my team one day said to me, I feel that AI makes me feel redundant. And I try to understand that. I understand, for example, that this is the notion and this is the main fear at the moment. But at the same time, it's also the contradiction. For example, the main thing for me when I joined a new team was I always asked, do you have the language to talk about the product, about the company, about the value proposition? The answer that I got was no. Therefore, for example, when on the one hand, you have a tool that can actually accelerate knowledge, and then you don't embrace it, mainly because the perception is this will make me redundant one day, I think it's a missed opportunity. Because in a nutshell, you expand and you identify how you use that platform, and you expand on your skill set, on your knowledge, on your ability. This is for me. Obviously, yes, many jobs will disappear because of AI. It has already happened. It will create more. I do believe that. But I think that it's very transformational for the whole world. And we need, as a species, just to be, let's say, more aspirational and more grand, we need to find solutions. For example, I heard recently someone saying many jobs will disappear. The 60-year-old, for example, a copywriter, or the 60-year-old, let's say, translator, won't be able to reinvent themselves as an influencer. The 20-year-old, 30-year-old, they can do it. Therefore, I think that it's our responsibility as a species to just find, let's say, the right structure, the right systems to support and find solutions for that. Because yes, many jobs will disappear. But on the other hand, you can expand. You have speed. For the first time in my career, the past year, normally in marketing, you just prioritize what you're going to do. Last year, I had to prioritize what I do first and what I do next. But I was able, for the first time in my career, because of AI, because of having an AI-first team, to do everything. And many people can just say, actually, what was the quality of that? The quality of that was just a benefit-led content with lots of insights, lots of stats, lots of proof points, because nothing was going out without being able to substantiate it, without telling a story. We got the foundation, we got the speed, but we expanded and the whole thing blossomed with the help of AI. So yeah, to do everything for the first time after 16 years that I had on my pipeline, that was something I never experienced before.
Just a super quick break from this conversation to let you know that if you're a B2B technology or professional services company and you want help with streamlining your content operations, outsourcing your content repurposing is the number one way to produce more high quality content and boost your ROI without putting any more pressure on your team. In fact, it could save your team up to 30 hours per week. We offer content repurposing services for video and audio content. Whether you have a show or you're launching a brand new one, maybe you have an archive of awesome content, be it webinars or a virtual event, or you want help creating thought leadership content that we can repurpose, we've got you covered. Head to content10x.com to see how we can help you and start increasing your efficiency and the value you get from your content. Now, back to the conversation. Do you, in terms of doing everything, I was just wondering about I guess, kind of guidelines and policies in place. Ultimate Group, for example, because of, you've obviously explained that there's a really keen interest in using AI in lots of ways that you use it. But where do you stand, or where are you on the scale of having policies and guardrails to protect from all the issues with content, copyrighted content, IP? We have a client only just yesterday that had a fairly serious letter from a legal company because they'd hired a writer to work for them who'd used AI and unwittingly brought about copyright infringement on the company because they didn't realise that they'd been using someone else's IP that got spat out of an AI. What are your policies on that?
I think you just need to create a list of what can just put you in that position. For example, let's say that you use photography or you just create a design. I don't like creating, by the way, designs or content with AI content, visual content, for this exact reason. Not yet, at least. I don't trust it. It feels dry. And regardless of how polished it is, it's too polished. And I like something more raw, something more creative, if I can say that. But in my opinion, I think that you need to create the list of what can just put you into this position and create the necessary frameworks and safeguards. For example, if I want to use stock advertising, I will go to formal and official organizations where I just need to get a subscription. I'm not going to create something on my own, or I will let the team do something like that. No, this is a no. In terms of copy, to just use, let's say, a quirk here and there from let's say, pop culture, that's fine. I think that you can just add a different spin. We were doing that even before AI. But yeah, just to go back to your question, I think that, yeah, you create a list, a safeguard or a safety net, and you just create, let's say, the necessary, how to put it, guidelines or rules. We do this like that, and you actually use AI to verify that you just follow these rules. I had a Q&A list that I created only yesterday, and I said to my team, whenever you create something like that, drop it into the agent and then drop a Q&A and then ask it to do the job for you and then check it. So you have another, let's say, pair of technical eyes.
Do you have any funny or cautionary tales of where AI has gone wrong for you guys? Anything that, any kind of mishaps that have maybe happened along the way?
Let's say that you receive a report and the report has been generated predominantly by AI and the team didn't have the time to look into it. And then you just see things that they are not aligned, they are not grounded to reality. Or words, or it hallucinates. For example, I wanted to use some testimonials yesterday, and I specifically said, this is the link of the website, give me the testimonial. And then it created a testimonial on its own. And I was just like, where did you find that? I talked to it like a person. And then we realized that sometimes it hallucinates. That's why it's extremely important to verify what you have. It gives you speed, but it can just go really, really wrong. But on the other hand, it helps a lot. For example, I like using it to rhyme for taglines. I love doing that. I did it once. We had to promote something at one of my previous employers, a location which was very summery. And a song stuck in my head, Splish Splash, I was taking a bath or something like that. And then I said to the to AI, I said, I have this song in my head. I just need a tagline informed by that. And we came up and we created one. What it was, Splish Splash, Money Whiplash. Then I realized that actually whiplash means also something else. But that's a totally different story.
Yeah, it can really make you laugh sometimes, can't it? Like, I love AI and, you know, it can be so useful. But sometimes it can really have you giggling at the things that it comes out with, can't it? I loved when you said earlier about hiring for AI first teams and making that part of your hiring. And that's certainly something that I've been leaning into. We've been doing quite a bit of hiring recently. And I must admit, I've found it hard actually. And we can put it in our job descriptions. We can tell the recruiters that this is a filtering criteria, but it's still finding it very hard to actually meet people who genuinely, apart from saying that they're dead good with AI, but it turns out they've just occasionally used ChatGPT, to people who I really want to find people who are AI first when they come up with a problem, things like that, they'll work out how AI could help. Have you found that too? Like, where on the spectrum do you find people? Because I just don't find it easy.
To be honest with you, I don't put that in the CVs because, for example, I don't want someone to sell it to me and then find out that this is not what has been sold. I'm not interested, to be honest, personally on that, because I know that I have created internally, and this is a process that I'm going through right now with my new team, a system to, what's the word I'm looking for, to train the agent. Therefore, I want them to have the interest and to want to use it, not to have to use it. Sometimes I think that when someone puts that in their CV, it's a question mark for me, mainly because I was just like, do you put it there because it's trendy? Do you have the experience? Because I know that not many people have the experience. To give you another example, I joined a webinar recently of an organization that I used to work with in one of my employers. And I told them, yes, I'd love to just go into the webinar to just see how you guys use AI. And then I think that one of the conversations that followed after, because I told them that I use it heavily, was one of the questions was, what do you think? Do you think that we just covered what a client like you would have liked? They said, no, because what you presented is exactly what I can just find in a blog, what I can find in a list, what I can actually get from AI itself. But the know-how, the creativity behind how you're going to use it wasn't there. Therefore, you need to have in your teams, we need to have in our teams, individuals who want to use it because they understand the value. They are not people who have to use it because the company gave the lead, or they are going to use it just to cut corners. You need to use it to amplify your knowledge, your experience, your output, the quality of your work, and also inform your work. One of my favorite prompts is when I prepare a strategy is, okay, this is my strategy. What am I missing? What is that I don't see? What is that one thing that I don't see? And it's quite fascinating because I just have a safety net. So to answer your question, no, I'm not looking for someone who has AI. I prefer someone to come in with a desire to learn, and then I can just shape them how I think it will be beneficial for them and for the operations. Therefore, yesterday, I had a session where we trained the agent with a messaging framework for the event, a prompt library that we created, how we're going to assess the information, a list of testimonials that we have uploaded, a list of sales enablement pieces that we uploaded. And I literally said, that's how I train the agents. Can you confirm that you can actually internalize this information? Prove this to me. Because I would like, I said, my team to be able to use it and work and create content informed by this information. And I'm very specific about the language, for example, describing the language, describing the tone. For example, something that I learned recently was also, I don't want wasted words in my content. No power of three structure, no antithetical setups, no bloody dash. And because sometimes actually you can just actually have a fight with the software and it won't take you to HR.
I completely agree. Fantastic. It's really topical that we are talking about AI because we're just at that point now towards the end of the conversation. The final question for you comes from our previous guest. So our previous guest, Jason Widdup, SVP of Marketing at Pixis, and his question to you.
I fundamentally believe search is going to change, right? Like search as we know it is going away and everything is going to be now with AI and LLMs, right? And it's already happening. So if we agree that that's a given, how are you thinking about organic traffic in the context of AI LLMs versus SEO? I'll just leave it open-ended like that. Nothing more specific than that, but how are you thinking about it? And are you doing anything to like address it or learn more about it?
I think SEO, I believe that it won't go away anytime soon. It's extremely important. And also it's a massive, let's say, driver of indirect, let's say, acquisitions, depending, of course, on the organization. On the other hand, though, you need to just take under consideration that lots of LLMs, they will be asked to find information about you. Therefore, in that perspective, you go after authority. To be very honest, I think at this day and age, because I was always approaching content like that, but sometimes you don't have the time to elevate further what you do. And right now, having this requirement that our content needs to be, as I said before, benefit-led, insightful, thorough, go and just come across as an authority in your space, I think that that's a massive, let's say, tool for marketing to use and create content, because normally you will create content by working with a media company or with a copywriter. And sometimes you were sacrificing, let's put it that way, quality because you had to meet a deadline. Right now, you still meet the deadline. You may push back a little bit. But on the other hand, the goal is to create content which is thorough. It's you become one of the 5-6, let's say, content locations, if I can say that, that your target audience will come and see you. So I heard that a few years ago, that each one of us goes to 6 or 7 locations to consume content. And I put it personally, when in the content segment of my strategies, I would like to just create content and the organization that I work for to just be one of the 6 or 7. It's a nice motivation. And right now with LLMs, it just gives you also the justification to push back and just say, no, we just need to expand. It needs to be rich. It needs to be insightful. It needs to be useful.
Great answer. Yeah, thank you. That's fantastic. So we turn the microphone to you now and to ask you. So your question for the next guest, we don't know who it is, but we know that it's a leader in the B2B content marketing world. What would you like to ask them?
If they use AI, what part of marketing they will be reluctant to use AI? I have an idea, apart from the data side, but I would like, for example, hopefully to just hear, let's say, other areas of what they are not going to use AI for.
Yeah, great question. We talked about lots of good use cases, but what do we stay clear of? Okay. That's a really good question. I look forward to the answer for that. So thank you. Kostas, thank you so much for coming on B2B Content Strategist. We could chat for a lot longer, but I guess the time is up. So is there any next step you'd like people to take? I will share a link to your LinkedIn so people can let you know that they listened to this conversation and all of that. Is anything else?
No, it was fantastic to look forward to just see the reaction to that. And yeah, I would be very happy to just share any insights with your audience. I think we're scratching the surface. And I think that, yeah, this is a missed opportunity. Therefore, we need to do more.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of B2B Content Strategist. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Feel free to connect with me on social media. You can find me, Amy Woods, founder of Content 10X, on LinkedIn. If you get in touch, please do leave a message and let me know that you listen to B2B Content Strategist. You can also connect with Content 10X. We're on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And for more insights on optimizing your content marketing and the power of repurposing, head over to content10x.com. You'll discover valuable resources to help you maximize the impact of your content. We have our sister podcast, the Content 10X Podcast, hundreds and hundreds of blog posts, and a library full of free resources and guides all about how to be a better content creator and content repurposer. If you're seeking consulting support or a trusted partner to handle your content creation, repurposing, and distribution, then also reach out to us. We offer a world-class, fully managed service that takes care of as much or as little as you need when you need it. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'll catch you in the next one.